Aloha, and thanks for listening to the Why Hypnosis Podcast, promoting quality hypnosis and NLP education on the islands of Hawaii, where I interview the top hypnotists, hypnotherapists, and NLP practitioners in the world so that you can learn their secrets to create positive changes in your life and the lives of others. You can subscribe to the Hawaii Hypnosis Newsletter at www.hawaiihypnosis.org. You will receive subscriber-only content such as free contests, articles to help you learn hypnosis and NLP, updates on upcoming hypnosis/NLP trainings in Hawaii, plus an exclusive hypnosis audio that is only available to the newsletter subscribers. Thanks for listening.
Aloha from Hawaii. My name, for those of you that don't know me, is Antonio Perez. For those of you that do know me, you may know that I love hypnosis and what it offers for everyone. Today, my guest is Tom Nicoli of abetteryouhypnosis.com. That's abetteryouhypnosis.com. Harvard Medical School said he's an expert in his field. He opened many of the students' minds to the possibility of the mind-body connection. Nicoli deals in a straightforward and honest manner. His presentation was thought-provoking, stimulating, and made a large impression. Tom Nicoli, published author, speaker, trainer, life coach, and consultant to practicing hypnotists, is a board-certified hypnotist with the National Guild of Hypnotists, an NGH-certified instructor, certified instructor coach, NGH advisory board member, order of the Braid Council member, and adjunct faculty member. Tom is a dynamic speaker, seminar leader, and lecturer, as well as a nationally recognized radio and television guest. The success of his work has been covered by Dateline NBC, national radio shows, and newspapers and print publications such as Shape Magazine. He is also the creator and host of the Hypnosis World Summit and Premier Summits online teleseminar events featuring top experts in the area of hypnosis and personal development to help people around the world make personal changes in a safe and natural way using the power of their mind and natural and holistic ways for self-improvement. And he is the founder and chairman of World Hypnotism Day, which is on January 4th and has just celebrated its 7th year. Mr. Nicoli is also a recipient of the National Guild of Hypnotists 2003 NGH Charles Tebbets Award, the 2004 NGH Hypnotism Achievement Award, the 2005 NGH Special Recognition Award for his quote-unquote valuable contribution to our profession with the inspired introduction of World Hypnotism Day, the 2007 NGH Hypnotism Media Award. In 2007, he was inducted into the Order of Braid Council. In 2007, again, he became a member of the NGH Advisory Board. And in 2008, he was awarded the NGH Orman McGill Award for Presenter of the Year. To say the least, Mr. Nicoli has worked his tail off, and it shows in the quality of his work. Tom, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I'm always glad to be able to take any opportunity possible to share what I can, and let's see what we can do today.
Oh, boy, and Tom, that was definitely one of the longer intros I've had to do, but it's a lot of stuff you've got on your resume, so to speak.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't read it all.
Yeah, I'd be sitting here for a while. Now, could you please tell my audience a bit more about yourself?
Well, I'll give you the short story from the beginning to the present. And I had looked into hypnosis, thinking about performance hypnosis, which is stage hypnosis. Being a musician my whole life, I thought it would be kind of cool to do that. But when I went and talked with an instructor from the National Guild of Hypnotists, he started talking to me about the therapeutic side of the work. And something clicked. That was 12 years ago, a little over 12 years ago, and I haven't looked back. You know, I got certified. A month later, I opened an office. I was bankrupt. I had gone through bankruptcy. I had nothing. My first office was 8 feet by 8 feet. It was size of like my walk-in closet here at home. And I was working in a dental lab doing full mouth reconstruction, dental technology, and playing in a band. So I would be doing 7-day weeks. Some days were 20 hours, And I just did everything that I could do in order to build my practice. And eventually, one thing led to another, and things got better. And here I am now.
Definitely a lot of work in the past 12 years, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, a minute ago I had mentioned that you were the creator of the World Hypnotism Day and the Hypnosis World Summit and Premier Summits teleseminars. Could you please explain what these are and how people can benefit from these?
Well, World Hypnotism Day came about because I had read a post where another hypnotist was complaining that the organization they belonged to didn't send her clients. And I just shook my head thinking, you got to be kidding me. So then I got the thought, well, imagine if hypnotists got together and sort of like the Great American Smokeout created a day of awareness so we could actually get together on our own instead of waiting for mainstream society to bring us into the limelight, but to start creating such exposure and such a wave of information that we would get the recognition we deserve in this honorable profession. Well, 7 years ago, it started out, and hypnotists in 22 countries on January 4th, or around that day, but January 4th is the day because New Year resolution time is when everyone wants to make change and when we pretty much see the bulk of our business as a general statement. But low-cost or no-cost events were being held. Well, since then, we've had mayors, lieutenant governors and governors in U.S. and also in Canada, we've had 47 of them, I believe, proclaim January 4th as World Hypnotism Day. The website, worldhypnotismday.com, offers free audio downloads for anyone who opts in, research facts, the history of hypnosis, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And there's also a private area for practicing hypnotists where a lot of successful hypnotists around the world who are on different committees that I've gathered are sharing a tremendous amount of resources that have helped people build their practice and actually succeed in business. So it was a way to give back and at the same time get our profession under the proper light that it deserves. And it's been remarkable, quite frankly. The summits that I'm hosting and part of the creator of them is my internet partner, Keith Jennison, who is the producer. Premier Summits is for self-development and personal growth. We did one on stress. There's one running right now from the 1st of February through the end of the month, where a different presenter is on each day, another expert about weight loss. So this one's about weight loss and how to stay healthy. Even if you're fit, you can learn how to really stay healthy. The Hypnosis World Summit that we did last year was, again, a free event where we had different experts from the profession of hypnotism, and they all presented on ways people could benefit from hypnosis. And it's just, again, it's another way to get the word out and to help as many people as we possibly can. And with this thing we call the internet, it's really cool we're able to do that. And we had people in 75 countries listening to those presentations that we offered.
Now, actually, I'm truly amazed by how much fanfare I've seen about the both of the summits, the Hypnosis World Summit and the Premier Summits. What is the website for the Premier Summits that's going on now?
It's premiersummits.com. People can go there, and they give their first name and email address, and they get access to the presenters that we have daily, and they're presenting on a different area of weight loss and being fit and healthy. And Hypnosis World Summit is hypnosisworldsummit.com.
I definitely I know a lot of work into that. I've talked to you on the back end. I know you've been doing an insane amount of work trying to get all this stuff out to the general public.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is that I come up really hard. You know, I come from nothing. And I used to load trucks by hand and do tar and gravel roofing, and I've done some real, real tough work. So when I sit here and do something like this and speaking with you, or we're interviewing somebody for the summit, or I'm editing some audio, I just call it inputting my time. You know, I consider work to be something of labor. But if it's something you enjoy and it's, you're in a comfortable setting doing it, well, it's just inputting your time. So instead of me sitting in front of a television, I sit in front of the computer screen and I'm able to have the opportunity and the privilege of being able to help more people.
It's definitely a good outlook on it. What do you specialize in your hypnotherapy practice, and can you give any advice to hypnotists that may be listening on good resources for learning these specialties or any other specialties they may want to specialize in?
Well, Antonio, the way it happened with me is I was working with people with emotional and physical issues. And as you mentioned earlier, early in my career, I had presented at Harvard Medical School talking about the mind-body connection and pain management and all the things that can be done with hypnosis, whether it be with an emotional behavioral issue or some physical issue. However, after being on the national television show Dateline NBC during what they call the Ultimate Diet Challenge, where they had six different approaches to weight loss, be it Jenny Craig, Slim Fast, Weight Watchers, and a hypnosis being me, and they gave me a pastry chef to work with. And when people saw him lose 40 pounds effortlessly without any struggle or angst, all of a sudden it was insane of how much hypnotists were being called and how much work was being done and how many people were getting helped. So because of that show, I became known as the weight loss hypnotist. Though I have learned, and people who come to my classes who are in our profession learn quickly how dealing with weight loss clients is really one of the most difficult there is. So all the work I did previously is what lent itself for me to be successful with these weight loss clients, because they have both emotional and physical issues to deal with. So it's a very complex matter to do it successfully. As far as resources, well, I would say that there are so many resources out there, and it's up to the individual to find what suits them best, because five people can be teaching you about one certain aspect of what we do, and you just take to somebody better than someone else. And it's not that the information is really different, it's just the way it's presented. So it depends on what people are looking to accomplish or achieve or add to their toolkit, as I call it, their skills. And then just search around and be sure to ask all the questions you need to ask and do your research. You know, it's amazing how many people will just find someone because, well, they're local or they just like them for some reason, and they don't do enough research to find out if they have a good track record, if there's any bad press about them, or, you know, what the standing is like in the profession.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard there's been people over the years that I've looked up to, and then recently I started to hear about some of their background, their ethics. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna kind of stray away from this person. It's not, and that's mm-hmm. also something I don't want that to be connected with me. When I eventually have a successful practice, I don't want it to have any bad bearing on me.
Exactly. You know, I wrote an article. I'm also a columnist for the National Guild of Hypnotists magazine, the Journal of Hypnotism. And there's only a handful of us, and that's another privilege that I'm actually blessed to be a part of, where I get that opportunity to write that column every quarter. And one of the articles I wrote was called, "You're Known by the Company You Keep. Birds of a Feather Flock Together." And a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't understand why people are looking at them with a raised eyebrow, because they haven't realized the people they're associating with have a bad track record. So you kind of got to watch who you associate with and understand that once your name is tarnished, that's it.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be have a tarnished name, because you'll eventually get tarred and feathered.
Exactly.
Since people are listening to this interview, I'm assuming that they know how to use the internet and that they're either practicing hypnotists or just wanting to learn more information. What online resources can you recommend to people that really want to master the art of hypnotherapy?
Well, I'll tell you what. I consider YouTube a fantastic resource. You know, I have software that is really serious stuff. You know, I'm a point-and-click guy. You know, it's great that I have an internet partner who's the technical genius behind everything I do, and I have an awful lot of websites and different projects that go on. But whenever I need to know anything, like I have some movie editing software that I have that's way over my head, I go to YouTube and I find some 14-year-old kid who knows everything about it. But there are a lot of us, even myself, you know, a lot of TV shows that I've been on, there are clips on YouTube under my name. And there are a lot of hypnotists out there that are doing some instructional work on YouTube. And you get pieces, and then you have to just pursue it and find where you can get the rest of the information and maybe take a course or a class.
You're right. YouTube does have a lot of really talented hypnotists and a lot of really young ones. Later what I'll do is I'll go out and find a couple good clips of the hypnotists on YouTube, and I'll post it on the blog post where this podcast will be on so people can get a head start on that. Recently, I was having a discussion with a female hypnotist about people who claim to have 100% success rates with their clients. While you can't have a 100% success rate, you can have a fairly high success rate. What are the five things that you believe can increase a person's success rate?
The five things. Well, one, take some advanced training. I find it very curious that there are people in this profession a lot longer than I, who sit in front of me when I'm teaching some of my different classes, and they are still doing what they learned in their training. Now, in the training, you know, even the organizations that will certify people, they let their students know that this isn't everything. This is enough to get going, but you need to know an awful lot more. So you need to continually learn. You know, I learned more in the 6 months after I got certified, because I'm very aggressive and hungry for information, than I did in my course. Plus, as you go along, you'll find that some of the things you were taught in the beginning, you didn't even grasp correctly because you just weren't aware. So continued education, it's huge. And then when you're now looking at your clients, well, the first thing, obviously, is to have rapport, presentation, and all of that. That is going to set up the immediate response the client's going to have when they first come in to see you. But then again, it even starts before that. It may be your website or the phone call that's made. You don't know how many people I've had who have called me and said, I called somebody else, left a message, I never got a return phone call. That's appalling. And they wonder why they can't go full time, because they're not running the business properly. So you need to be able to have the proper setting and to be able to create rapport where people see you as a professional and respect you and believe you're going to do what you say you can do. I mean, imagine your financial advisor shows up in a, I don't know, say like a 14-year-old car that needs a good paint job and his shoes get holes in them. I don't think that's the right presentation, and he's not going to get any rapport with you. Another thing would be the marketing aspect. It's amazing how many people in the healing arts, as it's called, complementary alternative medicine, who they're coming from the heart. They really want to help people, but they have this really dark, sinister idea about promotion and marketing and creating a business. You know, if you're not making any money, you're not helping anyone. And if you're not making any money, you're not in business. So they need to understand that they have to be able to wrap their head around the fact that they need to learn how to market, promote, get publicity, and build their business at the same time. Now, it's a very difficult thing. That's why a lot of professionals have people who help them do this. But, you know, I can tell you quite easily, the one thing that will get you started with no money, the way I started, was you go talk everywhere you possibly can, and you will get clients and you will begin to build your business. So we've got rapport, we've got advanced training, continual education, and we've got marketing and promotion. Well, in the marketing and promotion part, a lot of people will just do that offline, like old school. Well, I tell people, if you only advertise and you market offline, well, that's like, I don't know, it would be sort of like 20 years ago not having a phone in your office. It's ridiculous. You need to get online. You know, I've had people come to my office, which one of them is in Massachusetts. It's about 8 miles north of Boston. And another one is in southern New Hampshire, which is about 40 miles north of Boston. And I've had people come to my Massachusetts office from Switzerland, France, Canada, almost every United State, the Philippines. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. Dubai. where if you have a presence and you are professional and you have enough information that people are reading that makes them feel like you're the person they need to see, they will come see you. They will come find you. And like I tell people, you do not market to your backyard. You know, that whole thing in the old days, location, 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 that's not where it's at anymore. We now are part of the world, you know, so I have people who know about me in so many countries only because of the internet. So you need to capitalize on it. Plus, it's 24/7. You know, it's never off. It never stops. The other thing I would say is that you need multiple streams of income. And I learned this a long time ago watching a real estate guy. And he had a $1 million company. But he said, if that company stops bringing in money, he's broke. He has no income stream. So I have product. You got CD sales and audio downloads online, which is another way to help more people. I mean, I've been able to help people in 40 countries that I haven't even seen. So that's a real remarkable kind of thing that's available through the internet. And we're in it to help people. That's the primary focus. And I want everyone to understand that. Sure, I make a bunch of money. But if you're not focused on the client and doing good work, you will make no money at all. Because people do not buy your services or products. They buy results. And if you can deliver results, which means you can have your focus where it belongs, then the other stuff will follow. But if you focus on building a great business, make a ton of money, you're going to find it's very shallow and empty, and it may not even work. So the whole idea is with the multiple streams of income, as a certified instructor, I teach students. I teach 3 classes a year. I do private sessions with people. Got the products online. I'm also a consultant to people in our profession. And then there are teleseries and teleseminars and workshops and things like that. So if one thing isn't happening, well, the other things are.
Oh, that's a load of information you gave right there. The one thing I want to comment on that absolutely boggles my mind is how a lot of hypnotists will not call you back. When I was trying to promote a training 2 years ago, I would call a lot of the hypnotherapists on all the islands, and I never got a call back. And some of the hypnotherapists I talked to, they're like, oh, I already have training. And they basically acted like they knew everything. I'm like, it's impossible to know everything about basically any field in the world.
Well, that's true. You know, there are a couple of guys that are running a fantastic regression course. And because they know that I've been able to accomplish a certain level of success, when I was in Vegas presenting, they came out and had dinner with me. They drove from California and from Utah and California. Now, here they were asking me advice. But yet, when I saw the program, their 6-day course.
Okay, now, if you don't mind me asking, was that Mr. Shaw and Mr. Sison?
Yes.
Okay, I had a feeling.
You know, I'm the guy who is in the class, and I will ask the question that sounds the dumbest. And I have had people look at me, actually, with that look like, you asked that question? You? They think I know everything. I'm like, yeah. You know, so what? What's the big deal? Man, if you don't know something, ask. I mean, if you ask, it's amazing what you'll find out. And they just, you know, I tell people all the time, when you're in school and the teacher asks a question, all the kids look the other way. It's the same with the adults. They're just bigger. That's all. It's the same people doing the same thing, responding the same way. They don't want to ask. They don't want to be asked. They don't want to look dumb. Meanwhile, they remain uninformed because they won't ask. So have some confidence. Realize you don't know everything. And maybe the person you're going to learn the greatest thing from knows only about 1/100 of what you know. You know, I used to give guitar lessons as a musician. I've been playing for 41 years. And sometimes I'd have a kid for 6 months, and he'd play something, and I'd think, what? You know, you never know where you're going to learn what you're going to learn. You never know where you're going to get it from.
There's always little bits of information that you can pick up along the way. I mean, there's some bits of information that aren't good, and I've heard a lot of people saying, train with somebody that you don't think that's good, and then train with somebody that's great, and basically just go vice versa. Train with people that are, I guess, are not the best of friends, and you can get good angles and have a better way to go about doing hypnosis and therapy work.
Yeah, you know, the idea is you got to filter through it all. I had to filter through so much information; it was insane. You know, a lot of it's garbage, just like in any profession, in any field, in anything. But you can read a book sometimes, and there's that one sentence you read that made the whole book worthwhile. And if you didn't read that book, that sentence, and sometimes that's how it goes in trainings. It isn't like every single bit of it is a gem, but, you know, a lot of it will be good. Some of it you'll already know. And that's one thing, too, is I remember attending a seminar with 1,200 people in it. And the first thing the guy said was, there's a lot of you out there who do NLP and hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and I want you to just remember this. Every time something comes up and you say to yourself, oh, I know that, you don't know that. Once you say, I know that, you stop listening and you stop learning. So I go in with an open mind as if I know nothing and I listen to it all. And sometimes it's what I already know, but with a different twist. So you got to be open and you got to filter through all the information that's out there, which, you know, takes some motivation. And that's part of being an entrepreneur, to be self-motivated.
Seems like a lot of the entrepreneurial spirit has, to me at least, it seems like in the younger generations, not as big as it was back in, let's say, maybe the 80s or even the early 90s.
Well, Antonio, I got to mention this, you know, as you say that. I'm 51 years old, right? And I come up old school, really old school, very traditional. And my old man broke his back, and he taught us a work ethic. Well, when I sit here for these hours, even though I'm not doing physical labor, that's the work ethic that I've learned. And it has seemed to me that over time, the work ethic has been watered down tremendously. And people forgot that there's still the basic foundation of all things. And, you know, it isn't like you've got to push a button and get everything. You can push a button and get a lot of things, but a lot of people are spoiled with these push-button approaches. And not everything's instantaneous. Sometimes you've got to do the work.
Mr. Nicolin, let's just imagine for a second that you had access to a special machine that would record your mindset and all of your beliefs and strategies. If you were to upload your mindset, including all of your beliefs and strategies that are available to you when you were conducting a hypnotherapy session, what are some of the key things this machine would record?
And this is while I'm conducting a session with a client?
Yeah, while you're conducting a session.
That's a pretty good question. Nobody's ever asked me that one. So, if I can let you into my head as I'm coming around to sit next to a client in order to start a session, is to understand whether your belief system doesn't jive with this or not. That there is something we don't understand or know about, but it happens. That whole intuitive bit. It's phenomenal how many times I'm not sure exactly where to go, what to say, and a waterfall of ideas and information and imagery comes in through my head. It's amazing how sometimes clients will say after the session, that almost freaked me out. And I'll ask why. Because you started describing something and I was already there. So there's something that's going on between the two people in that room. And, you know, if you ask a quantum physicist, it's going to talk to you about energy. But there's an intuitive bit to this. You know, it's not all about thinking and logic. At the same time, when you're working with a client, what I find a lot that people don't do well is what is called creating the client's landscape. By creating the client's landscape, that means you talk to them in a way they can relate to. For instance, very commonly, people will talk about a progressive relaxation, guided imagery of being on a beach in the warm sun. Well, as a kid, I was in the hospital with massive sunburn, really bad. You don't want to do that to me because you just lost me as a client. So you have to know that as you gain information from people, to listen to their background has nothing to do with you and to speak to them in a way that's their landscape. You know, if the person just flew to me from the Midwest and they've never seen an ocean, what the hell am I talking to them about a beach for and feel your feet in the sand? At the same time now, as I'm working with the client, I've got this open mind, I've got this intuitive bit that plays into it as well, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, but you go with it. You will find it works. And then you've got the landscape you're creating. It's also rare at the same time. But I'm going to share something that I heard from a good friend of mine, Dan Vitchoff, who has Pennsylvania Hypnosis Center. I think that's what it's called. And Dan actually helped a couple of our Olympic athletes win 2 gold medals in China. But Dan had said in one of his presentations, the one thing he would share with everyone, if that's all he could do is share one thing, is whenever you are with a client, come from a place of love, because your energy will change dramatically. If you look at somebody and you got a feeling like, oh, excuse me, just shut up, you just don't jive with them, it's just abrasive, well, you're not going to deliver a good session, and things aren't going to go right. So he said, of course you're not going to love everybody, but maybe you really like that ring they're wearing. Maybe it's their color of that shirt they have on or something. Or maybe it's the fact that you love the fact that they need help and you can help them. And it just changes the whole dynamic between the two people. And it's really effective. So at the same time, the last part is there are a lot of people in professions like ours who all they're concerned about is that that client is a dollar value. Quite frankly, I have done more free sessions than some people in our profession make in a year. And they don't even know it. A lot of people don't understand how much free work I do, because I know the person needs the help, they can't afford it, or they've already paid me for X amount of sessions and they still need more help. You have to have the client's interest at hand. You must be focused on the client and be really concerned to really want to make a change, to be effective in some way, and to not accept the credit. You know, I've had people say to me a lot, thank you for saving my life. Or has anyone ever said, you've changed my life? And I say, I haven't done anything. And they look at me funny, you know. So I tell them, look, let's say you were lost and you were driving. I mean, you're lost. It's kind of what you've been in life. You're going in circles. And you're the driver. I'm the GPS. I gave you directions as to how to get back inside yourself where all the answers are. And once you do that, people make change.
I really like your answer about showing love to the client. It's unconscious. People can pick up on it. It's just like if somebody smiles, you have a natural tendency to smile. If somebody shakes your hand, you have a natural tendency to reach your hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple of sessions on Skype where I could tell it's kind of different on Skype, so you're not really there, and it's harder to actually witness the reaction.
Well, that's why you have to use video.
Yeah, even there's been times when I use video, and I can still hear it in the person's voice where they sound like they're trying to rush through everything, and that puts me off, definitely. You and I both know that not everyone knows what hypnosis feels like. I'm wondering if you would like to do some impromptu hypnosis for my audience so that they can get a better grasp of what hypnosis feels like.
Sure. We can do a general kind of approach, which is just one way. And that's what people need to understand. Everyone that's listening, who, even if you're a hypnotist, you know, a lot of hypnotists, believe this or not, when I ask them as they sit in my class, whether it's a presentation, a workshop, a seminar, or a training, how many of you have not been hypnotized and they're certified and they raise their hands? There's always somebody, always. Sometimes you'd be surprised how many there are. So this is just one approach. This is more of the most passive way that we go about delivering this process called hypnosis, of inducing the state of hypnosis. And for those who don't know, there are only 4 levels of brainwave activity. There's thinking, conscious analytical thinking, very limited. Then there's daydreaming. That's where you kind of get aha moments. Those are the first levels of hypnosis, the daydreaming state. Then there's dream state, deeper. And then unconsciousness. So if you're unconscious of thinking, you're not going to be able to make this happen. And quite frankly, there's this phrase, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, because you must allow the process. So it's sort of like whether it's a hot shower, a hot bath, or a massage, or just sitting out on the deck or somewhere that you're comfortable, and you just let your mind go. You relax and you stop thinking and worrying about the world's problems, because quite frankly, there's nothing you can do about them anyway. So whenever you're ready, Antonio, I can just deliver a short little piece that people can experience just to feel the comfort and what it's like, and deliver some generalized suggestions maybe. Now, folks, if you are driving and listening to this, if it's something you've downloaded and are listening to, do not do this. Just stop it and go do it later. Just let yourself get comfortable and enjoy the process. So whenever you want, Angel.
You know, Tom, thank you. I always want to put that warning out yet. Like you said, definitely, if you're listening to this and you're driving or operating heavy machinery, don't do that. Just stop and then listen to it later when you can totally relax. Tom, whenever you're ready, just go ahead.
All right, I'll play a little background music here as well. Can you hear that, Antonio?
Yes, I can.
What I'd like everyone to do is just take a moment to settle in to wherever you're sitting, where you're relaxing now. Now, you can do this with your eyes open at first, or you can let them close whenever you'd like. But if your eyes are open, just look in front of you. Maybe it's a wall, a spot somewhere. Just keep your focus on that one spot. And take a deep breath in through your nose. And exhale through your nose. And when you inhale this time, notice that the air is cooler coming in through your nose and warmer as you exhale out your nose. And do that a few times. And eventually, you'll breathe just as automatically as you do any other time. Now take one deep, deep breath and hold it at the very top of the breath. Just hold it and in your own mind, count to five. And as you exhale, if your eyelids are still open, just let them close down now. That's right. You will find that as you continue to hear my voice, you'll be able to just let go. Relax and enjoy this process for a few moments. How quickly your mind can work for you when you get out of the way. And I want everyone to understand now that behind your eyelids is where you live. That is home. No matter where you go, where you've been, what you will do, who you're with, you will never leave that place. It's the most important place. And everything is accumulated, every experience, every thought, every feeling, and every part of you. The child, the adolescent, the present moment self. You may, in your own mind's eye, images, what it's like as to what I say, or you can just imagine what it might be like. And I'd like everyone to imagine for a moment that all the windows have been closed in your home. It's time to open them and let in the light and the fresh air. And all parts can participate, the child. The part that's most confident, the part that sometimes lacks that confidence. And as you open the windows and let in the light and the air, just breathe in deeply. And exhale. That's right. Now there's a lower level in your home. It's a storage area, but it's a beautiful place. It's unlimited. And everything you've been stored there. And it could be a ramp or a stairway. Or you just may have a sensation, a feeling of drifting down, down, into this place that's very private, personal. These numbers that I count will just be the steps or the moments it takes for you to just go down to this lower level. 7. Feeling every muscle letting go peacefully and comfortably while you're supported where you're sitting or lying. 6. This is the most natural thing you've ever done as a child pretends, plays, and fantasizes. Your imagination is powerful. 5. feeling that comfort now of personal peace and privacy. Down. And enjoying this time, because it's your time. Three. This storage area holds things that are forgotten and precious, powerful. Two. As you reclaim your personal power, it also stores everything you've avoided that's uncomfortable, but can be released. And all the way down to one. Change was the most constant, comfortable, and natural thing you've ever done since you were born. We always want what's next and best. It was easy to let go of diapers or baby bottles or having your hand held across the street or being told how to dress. So as you allow change to happen, you felt some heavy weight, some pressure in your mind, your emotions, your thoughts. And you may find that in the storage area, whether you see it in your mind's eye or just imagine what it's like, that heavy weight has been stored in a big, huge, huge container. But there's also a disposal unit, a black hole, a bottomless pit. And just at the thought of it, whatever it's been that has caused you problems, limited you in some way, something you've allowed yourself to perpetuate and think about that is over but still remains in your thoughts, that's caused you uncomfortable feelings. Imagine that container holds it all. A weight that's too much for you to deal with. A pressure. And it begins to roll towards that bottomless pit. And watch it. Feel it. The moment it enters that bottomless pit, that black hole, you will feel a deep, relieving breath. Feel lighter and go deeper down still. That's right. And your subconscious mind will continue working out the details as you follow my voice now. And as you make your way out to the beautiful garden outside your home, the rolling meadow, blue sky, beautiful flowers, you may notice the youngest part of you, the child, that little girl or boy, just playing there. And whether it's a butterfly in your garden or a beautiful flower or the child, all is beautiful and precious and worthy and deserving by universal standards, by universal rights. You are that child with time that has passed. So therefore, you are beautiful. You are precious. You are unique and special. You are life. And it's your right to feel worthy and deserving of all good things in life. And to be more aware of the free will that you were born with that separates you from all other life. For all living things function on intuition only. While you have intuition and free will, the ability to choose. And you can now become much more confident and aware of your choices in life, to make them simply and easily and healthy. To no longer allow excuses or reasons, rationalizing or denying to keep you stuck. And imagine as if that heavy pressure, that limiting feeling, that invisible wall that you felt in front of you that has kept you stuck from progressing in life, was almost like a suit of tar that you've been wearing. Imagine a suit of tar and everything toxic and unhealthy and negative has stuck to it. And you can now find the zipper. And as you unzip all the way down, let it fall off your body and step out of it feeling lighter, fresher, brighter, freer. And move forward on this path. Just take one, two, three steps forward to no longer remain stuck in the same place you've been. That's right. Now, from this moment on, you can allow yourself to be more aware, more mindful of the choices and decisions you make in life, and know that it's the little things that create big outcomes. Like a bricklayer laying one brick at a time, building a cathedral or a palace. And to remember that child had expectations, and you have the permission to live your life your way without any harm or ill intent to anyone else. It's your life, live it your way, that's right and best, healthy and happy. Now, at any time at all that you'd like to, when it's safe and appropriate, you can revisit this place, this storage area, and find the treasures you were born with of confidence, health, happiness, self-esteem, and to remove everything that's dark and heavy and uncomfortable that has been stored there unnecessarily. However, in a moment, I'm going to count from one up to three. On each number, become more alert, more aware, more responsive, more energetic and enthusiastic. One, as you take a deep, deep breath, the same oxygen that relaxes your body and mind can stimulate and energize you now. That's right, feeling it from your head to your toes, from shoulder to fingertips, front to back. Two, as you now feel even more aware, you can begin moving your toes, your feet, your hands, your fingers, your arms, just feeling your body responding as you become more alert to this moment, to this time, rising all the way up, all the way to my voice, to the present moment, in the place where you are now, to three, and eyes open. That's right. Eyes open, take a deep breath. I know that you've always had the permission to live your way that's healthy and happy, and to find all the things that will be best for you.
That's a great experience, Tom.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Off the top of my head, in a spontaneous moment with the bit of time we have, I did my best.
Like, you were talking earlier how some clients will say, like, you know, I was already there, or it's almost like the session was made specifically for them.
Yeah.
Some of the suggestions, like stuff about the pushing the chest with any like limiting feelings or beliefs, and talking about like pulling the sutatara off, that's giving me really good ideas. So, I mean, it really resonated with me, and that's giving me good ideas on some of the metaphors and imagery I could use with people in the future. And the one thing that I was going to mention when I was going through that little hypnotic experience, you're talking about the having a like a basement or whatnot. The funny thing is, in Hawaii, there's I don't believe there's really any basements. Mainly
not in California either. I learned that when I did a live bit out in California. They said we don't have basements here. I just said the lower level of your home. That's all I said. I used to say basement, but then here in New England, it means cobwebs and stone walls and oil tanks. So I say the lower level of your home, the storage area.
Ah, okay. So you're talking about it being open-ended and being very vague.
If you don't have a lower level, guess what? Your imagination will take over.
Oh, the imagination will definitely do so. And I'm sure people will know what a basement looks like. If you've watched TV or if you've got a heartbeat and a brain, you should have an idea of what a basement would be like.
You know, actually, Antonio, what I use pretty much 99.9% of the time when I say that is the lower level of your home, like the vault of a bank where all secrets and treasures are stored.
So kind of like a good metaphor for a subconscious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reminds me, Antonio, there was one other thing I want to mention when working with clients. it's imperative to be open-ended with what you deliver in a suggestion. When people say things like, you will do blank, what I say is things like, and from this moment on, you will eat healthier in the proper portions or not. It all depends on your desires and at the moment what's right and best for you. So if you paint anyone in a corner, they won't be there with that suggestion that means to them. So you got to leave it open-ended to give them choice. And metaphors are great. And that metaphor is part of emotional clutter, cleaning your home. So it's a way to not be specific to any certain thing that's uncomfortable, to realize and use this metaphor to release what's uncomfortable, to step out of what's been limiting, but yet also remind the individual of their you know, uniqueness and how precious and beautiful they really are. And I've had people cry and say to me, how could you say that to me? I don't even like me. I'm like, well, that's because you're out of touch with yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with you. You just have to release everything that's been piled upon your brilliance and your beauty and your intelligence and everything that's great about you.
So a lot of people, I believe, are out of touch. There's a lot of things that I need to work on. I think one thing that has been helping is by doing these podcasts, and I get people doing, just giving little examples of what hypnosis feels like. It's like I'm getting a bunch of free hypnosis sessions, so that definitely works out.
Oh, absolutely.
It's always a win-win.
Yeah, there was a time when I had about 100 people a week coming through my office. It was insane. So I had to add a couple of people on staff, and I would make sure that they knew my technique. So I'd have them sit in and watch me do sessions for a week. And one of the women that I had on staff, she said after the week she lost 8 pounds watching me do hypnosis weight loss sessions. Plus, we do benefit, like you just said. When we as the facilitator are in a session, you know, we're hearing what we're saying. You know, we're all full of positive suggestion and thought. And we're getting the experience and some benefit from the work, too. It's wonderful.
We're basically the first people to hear the suggestions that we're going to be giving to clients.
Right.
See, we've covered pretty much every question. Actually, one I want to do, just a quick little game that I actually did with Reg Blackwood. You know the whole with free association, I'll just like put out a word and I guess you follow it up with whatever word comes to your mind.
Okay.
Hypnosis.
Healthy.
NLP.
Reframe.
Milton Erickson.
Master.
Hypnotherapist.
Sketchy.
Antonio.
Learning.
Not a good one. Tom Nicoli.
Learning.
Not another good one. Richard Bandler.
My head. You know, the jury's still out in my head on that one.
Now, Tom, are there any other upcoming projects or anything else that you would like to mention, any kind of products?
Well, the only thing I would mention is that people can still, during the month of February, go to premiersummits.com and just give us your first name and email address, and nobody messes with that list. You know, I have tens of thousands of people on lists, and nobody sees them. We really respect email privacy. And they can get all kinds of information from a lot of experts that are presenting on being healthy and losing weight and maintaining your health. And if anyone wants to be able to start learning how to make change and be directed and guided, I have one website called TomNicoli.com where my audio CDs and downloads are at. But anything else, if anyone has any questions, they can simply email Tom at TomNicoli.com and I'll answer whatever I can.
How soon do you plan on coming to Hawaii to do a training?
As soon as you do a joint venture with me, gather enough people, and we make the arrangements.
Oh, that definitely sounds good. So any folks out there that, if you're impressed by what Tom has talked about, which I'm pretty sure you'll be at least slightly impressed, he's definitely a master of the craft. If you would like to see Tom in a training, just contact Tom at tomnicoli.com, or you can, if you're on my website in the blog post where this podcast is, you can click the contact link and let me know that you want to see Tom out here doing some trainings and seminars.
Yeah, that would be a joy. You know, I've had the pleasure of being in, you know, six different countries so far doing live trainings, and anything that anyone needs to learn or wants to improve upon in this profession, then we can create any kind of training that would be appropriate.
That sounds like a real treat. I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know what, Tom, I just want to say thank you very much for allowing me to interview you today.
Well, I appreciate you having me here, Antonio, and the opportunity to share this information with more people. But I want to commend you for not being one of the people who just sits back and hopes things get better and points fingers when it doesn't. But here you are taking lead position by doing what you're doing here and sharing information and taking the time to gather people who have some information to share. And without that, then, you know, we're all going to be stuck. So I want to thank you.
You know, thank you very much, Tom. Like, it's been definitely a journey. I realize that I'm definitely trying to do my best to promote quality hypnosis and NLP information.
Well, we all appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, and you have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You can also find us on the internet at these locations: Facebook.com/HawaiiHypnosis, Twitter.com/HawaiiHypnosis, and MySpace.com/HawaiiHypnosis. Thanks for listening.